no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Truth Network. And with us this morning is Chris Putman, and we're going to be talking about the book Petraeus Romanus. We've talked to our friend Tom Horn about this, but Chris was the co-author. And this is really a very important book. Basically, we cannot tell you when the Lord is coming. In fact, the year of 2012 may not mean that the Lord is coming, but it could mean that there are going to be dramatic changes at this time because there's so many prophecies that suggest that something monumental will happen this year. Now, are we being manipulated? Is this something that's been going on for hundreds of years, preparing us for this time? Or, well, let's hear what Chris has to say, because he, along with Tom, has actually analyzed all these prophecies from all these, not Christian sources at all, but I believe, of course, forces that come from the dark side, pointing us towards the importance of this year. Chris, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stanley. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, why don't you pick up the story about what you and Tom learned as you began analyzing the prophecies from the Catholic point of view, from the Protestant point of view, from the Jewish point of view, from the point of view of many of the ancient occult organizations out there. Would you like to list them, discuss them, and what's your take on the importance of 2012?
Well, certainly. You can't get around the fact that the whole culture has this 2012 meme, we would call it. You know, there's this vibe. It's been going on for the last 5 years in earnest. I mean, we see Hollywood blockbuster movies. I see all kinds of programs on the History Channel promoting 2012. You know, I was an outspoken kind of critic of that for quite a while. And I know that Tom had written his book, Apollyon Rising 2012, which I read, and I thought it was a great book. But I was still really skeptical about the whole 2012 thing. And frankly, I still kind of am. But, you know, I can't just dismiss the fact that so many different sources have mentioned it, and sources that are widely apart in time and worldview. Tom and J.R. Church, I think, had exposed the fact that the Jewish Zohar mentioned 2012. And it just kind of, it starts to strain credulity to think that all this is just a manipulation. Now, it could be a manipulation, but if it is, it's probably by the powers and principalities that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, because it spans too many hundreds of years to be just simply a human manipulation. Now, the prophecy of the popes is the foundational piece of prophecy that we're dealing with in this book about the last pope. And, you know, when I approached it, I wanted to take a very critical look at it because it's, you know, I'm not a Catholic and I'm pretty critical about Catholic theology. I think the Reformation was one of the greatest things that ever happened in history, and it was very necessary. So I was skeptical about this Catholic prophecy allegedly by the Saint Malachi, you know, in 1139. Now, when you look at the source material on it by the various Jesuit scholars and Catholics that have written about it, the majority opinion that you'll read today is that it is a 16th century forgery and that St. Malachi did not write it. And that's because the first printed copy in existence is from 1595, and it was kind of appended in this massive book called The Tree of Life by Arnold de Wion. And that was published in 1595. So nobody disputes the fact that we have a copy that's at least 400 years old. And it's exactly the same Latin text that people are dealing with today. So there's no dispute that we have that old source. So that, you know, gives us some grounding in history. And so, you know, what I want to look at is, you know, you have this list of 112 popes. Now, the way the legend goes is that St. Malachi had a vision when he was visiting the Pope in Rome, and he had a vision of all these kind of Latin phrases that are descriptors or, you know, had to say something about a particular Pope or the history during his pontificate. So 112 from the next one in his day, which would have been Celestine II, in 1139 all the way up to the end of time, supposedly, not so much the end of time, but the destruction of Rome. And, that's where we see a big intersection potentially with Bible prophecy, because I'll read that ending. Here's the way the prophecy ends with the 112th Pope. It says, in the extreme persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will sit Peter the Roman. That's where we get the name of the book, Petrus Romanus in Latin, who will nourish the sheep in many tribulations. And when they are finished, the city of seven hills will be destroyed and the dreadful judge will judge his people, the end. Now, that's pretty apocalyptic. That's the kind of thing that gets your attention. If you look at in Revelation chapter 17, verse 9, it talks about the seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. It's talking about the woman being the great harlot, which, you know, many Bible scholars see as apostate world religious system. And, you know, whether you include various elements from you know, you could have Protestant faiths mixed in there. You could have Islam mixed in there, but it seems to be capitalized in Rome. And I think there's a pretty strong argument that modern day Rome with its ecumenical movement is spearheading this, kind of pluralistic universalism, with Vatican II. And that seems to me to be a one world religion in the making. So I see a remarkable, coincidence in that prophecy, at the ending of the Malachi prophecy and the destruction of Mystery Babylon, and the, especially not so much the Mystery Babylon system itself, yet the religious system that supports it. And, you know, then we look at Revelation chapter 13, and it, you know, here's the kind of the lost character of Bible prophecy. A lot of people talk about the Antichrist character, and it's popular to speculate about who he might be, but you know, a lot of people forget that there's two characters mentioned in the book of Revelation, and the other one is the biblical false prophet. Now, when you see that this Petrus Romanus is going to be, you know, nursing the sheep during many tribulations, and then the city is judged and destroyed, you know, you start to think that there's something wrong with what Petrus is doing there.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at The Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, and here at American TV Network, and our guest this morning is Chris Putman, co-author of the book Petrus Romanus. Well, Chris, did the Catholic Church try to hide this book dealing with the prophecies of Father Malachy? And certainly they have a translation that mentions this in the late 1500s. Have the Catholic Church actively tried to hide this, keeping it locked up in their vaults at the Vatican? And where did you get your copy?
Well, you know, it appears that they did. You know, like I said, the first copy that everyone knows about was published in 1595. Now, it's available on the Internet. You can do a search. You can go to Google Books and find the original Latin text the book called Ligam Vitae, and that's basically just a scan of the original text of that book, and it's all written in Latin, of course, so to a lot of people it's not particularly accessible. But you know, there's several books that have been written about the prophecy itself. I mean, there's even a nice Wikipedia article that goes through it in quite a bit of detail. But you know, the legend is that it was, you know, written down in 1139. So where was it, like you say, for all those years? A lot of people have said that it was locked away in a vault. That, you know, and I can see potentially why that might be the case. It's not particularly flattering that the city of Seven Hills is destroyed. That really flies in the face of Roman Catholic eschatology. You know, most their dominant front of their end times belief is that the Catholic Church, as the universal church, conquers the planet, you know, with Catholicism, and then Jesus returns. They sort of have something similar to a dominionist vision. I mean, they always have, that the Pope is God's representative on earth, and that, you know, the Catholic Church's job, their mission, is to Catholicize the world. I mean, that's always been the ultimate goal. And so this prophecy really doesn't bode well for that theology. You're talking about the city of Seven Hills being destroyed. That sounds like a judgment for being apostate. So it's not something that you would think they would be particularly proud of. So I can understand why it might be suppressed. I can see why so many Jesuits have tried to debunk it. It's, you know, that kind of, when a testimony comes from someone and it's not flattering to their overall position, you tend to give it more credence because it's against their interest. And most people don't make up things that are against their own interest. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay, well, let's go ahead then. Of course, there's this prophecy that at this point, why the city of the Seven Hills is destroyed. Now, that's a pretty horrible thing to contemplate. We don't know if it's going to happen, but that's the prophecy. And what were some of the other Now, when they is that signify Christ is coming, or it's just going to be destroyed? Does that have anything to do specifically with Christ's return to the earth, or is this simply a cataclysmic prophecy about the so almost like the end of the Catholic Church?
Well, you know, I would say that it does, you know, and you know, let me be real clear that, you know, I don't claim to have any special revelation here. I'm just reading the source material and somewhat speculating and making connections. I don't claim to be a prophet or to know with any degree of certainty that any of this is going to happen. But, you know, there's some compelling reasons to believe it. And I'll talk about some of those just so your listeners will understand that I'm not just kind of making this up as I go along. Well, you know, for your first question right there, does it connect to the return of Christ? Well, that's why I was grounding it, you know, with its coincidence with the book of Revelation. It says the city of seven hills will be destroyed and the dreadful judge will judge his people. Now, to me, that sounds something like the sheep and the goat judgment that Jesus mentions. The city of seven hills being destroyed matches up with Revelation chapter 17, verse 9. And so, of course, you know, after chapter 17 is chapter 18 and 19, which is the return of Christ and, you know, the defeat of the false prophet and the Antichrist. And, of course, then Christ sets up his kingdom on earth. So if we're correct in making that connection, you know, between the end of the Malachi prophecy and the book of Revelation, then it would speak to the imminent and soon return of Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's a lot of other signs going on out there. You know, you mentioned some of the earthquakes and things like that we see on the increase. So it's not just, you know, being made in a vacuum. But, you know, like I said, I don't know. But why do I take this Catholic prophecy seriously? That's kind of where I started out heading. And I think that's important for your listeners to hear. You know, like I said, when I started, I didn't have particularly good reason to believe it. And so many people had written that it was a forgery. What I did discover is that the early part of the prophecy from 1139 to 1570 or so, it does look like someone massaged the text to make it fit a particular history. So most of the scholars are right when they're saying that it looks like a forgery, because there is strong evidence that someone modified the earlier portion before that publication of 1595. But what that doesn't explain is why somebody that was trying to manipulate a conclave and get a particular pope elected would create a forgery that would go so far into the future and then predict the destruction of Rome. That doesn't seem correct. So what it looks like happened is there was an original prophecy probably given by Malachi. We don't know that for sure. Some people think maybe Nostradamus disguised himself as Malachi and injected it into the church. We don't really know. But it appears that it could be Malachi. And then someone grabbed that text and then changed it to make it a little better, just to make the cardinals believe it so they could use it as propaganda, probably for a conclave that happened around 1590 or so. Most people believe it was with a fellow named Simon Selle who was trying to become pope. But what that doesn't explain, like I said, is the ones in the future. And let me get to the one that really caught my attention. The one that just knocked me out of my chair, and I knew that I couldn't just dismiss this thing as some kind of forgery, is Benedict the 15th, the Benedict before the one we have now. Now, he was pope from 1914 to 1922. Now, his Latin motto is Religio Depopulata. And in English, that simply means religion depopulated. Now, what makes this little Latin phrase so particularly interesting is that it's making a rather radical claim. It's saying that religion is going to be depopulated. It's not nebulous. It's not vague. It's making a risky prediction. And so if the Catholic Church had stayed the same, or perhaps even grown during this period of time, then this phrase would have been falsified. You know, it would have been discredited. But what happened during that time, 1914 to 1922, was when World War I occurred. The Catholic Church lost more people during this brief period than they ever have at any other time in history. Right when the motto, religion depopulated, is prophesied. And, you know, and we can demonstrate that we have a copy predicting this in 1595. So there's really no way around that. And, you know, this is when you have the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. So you have, you know, literally millions of people leaving the Eastern Orthodox faith to join the Bolshevik Revolution. And then you have Lenin and Stalin persecuting mercilessly all the religious leaders because they knew that people that have a faith in God are the kind of people that will stand up to communism. I mean, Stalin alone is credited with murdering like 43 million people. The Soviet Union is probably one of the greatest mega murderers of all time. And they specifically targeted religious leaders. So this motto, religion depopulated, I mean, I statistically, I just don't see how that could be a coincidence that it fell right in the perfect period of time. And it's just unprecedented. That kind of a hit really caught my attention. So I just couldn't dismiss this thing as some kind of fanciful Catholic document. Do you agree?
All right. But then there were other things that pointed to the year 2012. In other words, there were other almost occult prophecies coming from not only the Mayans, but from both the Incas and the Aztecs also talk about 2012 and their prophecies?
Yeah, they did. Tom Horn wrote some chapters about that. There's that Aztec calendar that seems to coincide with the Mayan calendar. You know, and isn't that just kind of strange that we have all these different cultures? Now, what I found with this prophecy of the popes that we write about in the book is there was a Belgian Jesuit named René Thibault. And he wrote a book in 1951, okay? And I went and dug up a copy of that from a university basement. I don't think anybody had looked at this book in 30 years. So this is demonstrably in print. You can look it up on the Internet and see there's copies. It's printed in 1951. Now, he was one of the few Jesuits that actually really believed in the authenticity of the prophecy of the popes. And he also detected that the earlier portion had been manipulated. So he put the range of the authentic part of the Latin text from 1572 future, okay? And he found all kinds of encrypted codes in the Latin text using numbers, using anagrams, and then one of the most simple ones, and you're talking about the year 2012. Now, when Tom and I started the book, 2012 really wasn't part of this project. We weren't really thinking anything about 2012 at all. I mean, we were mostly just concentrating on the connections between some of the Protestants' beliefs and Catholic theology. But then, you know, I found this book, Mysterious Prophecy of the Popes by René Thibault, written in 1951. He took all the popes from 1572 forward, and he averaged their length in office, the time of their papal reign. So he just took the number of popes and then the total number of years and got an average of 11 years per pontificate. So for each pope, the average reign is 11 years. Well, from 1572 forward, there were 40 popes. So he took the 11 years, multiplied it by 40 popes, got 440 years. Now add that 440 years to 1572, which was his starting point, and you land right on 2012. And the thing that's astounding is that this is in a book in print in 1951, written in French, pretty obscure, long before anybody's talking about the Mayan prophecy or any of this 2012 stuff that the New Agers are promoting. None of this was on the radar in 1951. And he doesn't just mention 2012 casually. He calculates it like six or seven different ways from the Latin text to the prophecy of the popes. I just can't see any reason why he would have done that and predicted that other than he really believed it. And some of his calculations are just kind of strange to me. I can't believe the lengths he goes to, but I just don't see what interest he had in predicting 2012, then back in 1951. I don't see why he would manipulate it. So I kind of just have to believe that he really believed everything that he wrote. And,
you mentioned the Aztec catalog. Was there anything there about the Incas or is it just the Aztecs?
I don't really know. I'm not much of an authority on the Native Americans down in South America.
All right.
So the two that I'm aware of are the Aztecs and the Mayans, and Tom does mention that in the book.
All right. And then, of course, we have something from the Zohar and something from Jonathan Edwards, who would be writing in the early 1700s or late 1600s? No,
yeah,
it would be the early 1700s because that's when the First Great Awakening came about. What was that all about?
Okay, well, yeah, I can definitely explain that. That was my section of the book for sure. But, you know, as far as the Zohar, that was something that I believe J.R. Church of Prophecy in the News found, and he called Tom back when he was working on Apollyon Rising and informed him about that. And Tom goes into some detail about that in the book. But as far as the Jonathan Edwards connection, so I just finished a master's degree at seminary, and I had to take the church history sequence in my seminary coursework. And, you know, I'm very interested in eschatology, and I wanted to know what did the reformers believe about these end time prophecies? What did they think about the book of Revelation and Antichrist? You know, what did Calvin and Luther and, you know, all those, and Spurgeon and, you know, and unequivocally, every single one of them believed.
You hold that thought, I guess, is Chris Putnam, the book is Treyas Romanus. What does it all mean? I don't think any of us will know, and don't think it's unfold. I'll be back here in just a moment here on the Eric.
Taste the difference at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods, providing natural meats and wild game like elk, buffalo, venison, veal, quail, and duck. Get your delicious homemade soups, stews, sauces, and tamales, pot pies, and desserts to go at Herb's Meats in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road. That's 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. 303-499-8166 or herbsmeats.com. Open 7 days a week.
Custom Cabinet Shop is a locally owned and operated family business since 1980. So if you want fair and reasonable prices, personalized service, and excellence in workmanship for your refacing, repair, installation, millwork, or remodeling projects for your home and business, Custom Cabinet Shop can do the job for you. Call now for your free quote and on-site consultation, 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. So Custom Cabinet Shop can attend to your every woodworking need. Cabinets to fit your taste, furniture to fill your space, and shelves to store more. Gun racks for what you pack. High-end, low-end, repair, reface, remodel, or replace. Mantles, ceilings, or trim. Whatever you need. Don't overpay for in-house calls, design consultations, or repairs. Call for your free quote and a single on-site visit to get your project rolling now. That's Custom Cabinet Shop, 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. CINN stations in all salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, I'm back here, and certainly never want to make a prediction on your own, because none of us know what the future holds. But, of course, it's interesting to see that down through these centuries, There have been people who felt that the year 2012 was going to be important. Now, is there information coming from the dark side? Are we being manipulated for a purpose? Does this have anything to do with the return of Christ, or is this going to be a cataclysmic event that will be used by Lucifer and his minions? We don't know. But there's so many sources of information that make us think that something of a cataclysmic nature may happen this year, and far better to be prepared for it psychologically, but mostly spiritually, than not to be prepared. Because you're better to be prepared 2 years or 5 years too early than 1 year too late. And there's no question in my mind that there are powerful spiritual forces at work. And they all seem, from my point of view, to be almost all coming from the dark side. So why are they doing it? I mean, these ancient pagan religions, certainly the Mayan, Aztec, and I believe that, was there some Cherokee prophecies going in there, Chris?
Yeah, I believe that's true. The rattlesnake prophecies, I believe, that they pointed to the year 2012 as well.
Well, now, what did Jonathan Edwards know? Because certainly he was a great giant in the Protestant Church. What did Jonathan Edwards have to say?
Okay, yeah. Well, it wasn't just Edwards. It was just about all Protestants from the time of Luther up until the beginning of the 20th century. Now, how did this point to this period of time? You have to understand that they interpreted the Book of Revelation. It was what is called the historicist view, where they saw the Book of Revelation describing church history from the time of the crucifixion up until the return of Christ. So they didn't put the events of the tribulation that you see with the bowl judgments and the trumpets and the seals. They didn't put those all at a 7-year period at the end of time. They saw those stretched out over the millennia. So they actually thought that was a roadmap of church history, and they all believed that the Pope was the Antichrist. And they have a lot of arguments, and I spent some time explaining why they thought that in the book. One of the most obvious connections is that, the Pope claims this title, Vicar of Christ. Well, the Latin term vicar means instead of, and the Greek prefix anti also means instead of. So quite, frankly, Vicar of Christ is equivalent to the Greek term Antichrist. It's almost a one-to-one correspondence. And, of course, Luther and Calvin and all Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards were all quick to point that out, and they all believed it. And it wasn't just Calvinists. I mean, it was John Wesley wrote books about the Pope being the Antichrist. So the Methodists, I mean, everyone in the Protestant faith, literally up until the early 20th century, unanimously held this opinion. And you can demonstrate that to yourself by just doing a search of their old books and systematic theologies. But they didn't just base it on Protestant ideas. A lot of Catholic writers in history thought the same thing. In fact, I discovered that Gregory the First, one of Rome's biggest saints and popes, wrote in the year 540, around 604, he wrote, "Now, I confidently say that whoever calls himself or desires to be called universal priest is in his elation the precursor of Antichrist." So here you have Pope Gregory the First saying that anybody that tries to be the universal bishop over the whole church is the precursor of Antichrist. The very next year, well, in 606 AD, Boniface III, he made that proclamation. He declared himself the universal bishop. So the reformers all saw that was the beginning of the reign of Antichrist. Now, how does that tie into this period of time now? The way they interpreted the book of Revelation, and Revelation chapter 12, it talks about that Satan chases the woman into the desert for 1260 days. Now, reformers saw that those days, they believed in the day-to-year correspondence, which you see in the book of Daniel, like with the 70 weeks, they're weeks of years. Well, they extrapolated that into the book of Revelation and used that kind of as a prophetic rule. So they saw that as 1,260 years. Now, if you date the rise of the papal antichrist at 606, you know, then it should have all been wrapped up by the 19th century. And so that's why you see a lot of the things that happened in the 19th century with the Millerite movement that became the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And there was a lot of people that thought the end times were during the 19th century, and that's what they were basing it on. But when I was studying the beliefs of Jonathan Edwards and many of the other reformers, too, they also kind of had a secondary date in mind because they weren't really sure when to ground the beginning of this papal antichrist system. And the other date is 752 to 756. Why is that date important? Well, that's when the papacy ascended to be a worldly temporal power. In other words, they became a political entity possessing land and their own kingdom. And the way they did that was particularly distasteful. They used a forged document called the Donation of Constantine. Now, what that was is they actually just created this document out of whole cloth and said that Emperor Constantine had bequeathed all this land around Rome, which became the papal states, but they basically just manufactured a document saying that it was from the 4th century A.D., that Constantine, when he moved the capital from Rome to Constantinople, that he actually gave all the land of Rome to the church. This never happened, and the document is even admitted by Catholic scholars today to be a forgery. But Pope Stephen used that forged document to go to King Pepin, who was Charlemagne's father in France, and asked him for military aid to take this land. So he uses a forged document, and then King Pepin comes into Italy and just stomps all these people and just, you know, wipes out the Lombards and people like that, so the papacy can take power of this land. So they really turned a very dark corner at that period of time. They basically made a bargain with the devil, is the way I argue it in the book. Because, I mean, they traded integrity, they traded honesty, they traded, you know, Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. They became a worldly power. I mean, in a very real way, you know, the devil tempted Christ in the desert with all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, in a very real way, they took that bargain when they decided to become a political worldly power and give up, you know, their integrity by using forged documents to do so and doing so in a violent and warmongering way. So in 756, this is what happened. So Edwards and the other reformers would allow that maybe that was the time of the beginning of the papal antichrist reign. And it's pretty clear that a corner was turned in, because if you look at church history, and I map some of this out in the book, it's a very dark time. This is the Dark Ages. Historians call this period of time after 756 the pornocracy, meaning there was just so much debauchery and hedonism and occultism going on in Rome. You have popes that were toasting the devil. Okay, these things are documents.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods sells hard-to-find clean meats for your family's table. Cured beef bacon, veal, turkey, and summer sausage, all pork-free. Also all available in collagen casings. That's right, collagen casings and pasture-raised, healthy, no hormones, no antibiotics beef at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. Ask about shipping.
The United States Constitution is a joke to politicians in Washington, D.C. Visit America527.org to help defend America from her enemies, foreign and domestic. We believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. We believe in liberty. We believe that only patriots can keep liberty alive. Work with America527.org to save liberty in America. Visit America527.org today.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, I'm here, and our guest this morning is Chris Putman, who is the co-author of the book, Petrus Romanus. Now, Chris, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out?
Well, certainly. Well, to order the book, I would recommend you go to www.prophecyofthepopes.com. And if you go to that site, I mean, you can buy this book at Amazon. You can buy it at the bookstores. But if you order it from Tom Horn's site there, www.prophecyofthepopes.com, we're giving away a data DVD. Now, what's on this DVD is all the files and source material, which is quite a number of books. I think over 20,000 pages of material. And a lot of it is the original source material that we reference in our book. And we have probably over 600 footnotes. I mean, the book is highly documented because I made a lot of, you know, claims against the church and a lot of historical evidence was dug up. So I wanted to footnote everything very carefully and document everything very carefully. So if you order it from there, you can get a hold of a lot of those documents yourself as PDF files. And Tom's also included some MP3s and videos. And so if you order it from that site, you get the data DVD for free, which is literally would cost you hundreds of dollars just to obtain those volumes. And plus, just the research effort that was put in to locate all those sources is well worth more than the price of the book. My website is www.logosapologia.org. That's logosapologia.org. And, you know, my calling for a long time has been Christian apologetics. So you'll see a lot of Christian apologetics things there. But I've been blogging on topics from this book for the last couple months. So there's a lot of material from the book that's posted there as well. And you can see the chart with the 2012 calculation posted there. There's a post called Prophecy of the Popes in the 2012 Connection, if you just search for that. But those are the sites right now that I recommend.
All right. Now, what about Jonathan Edwards? Did he stipulate the year 2012 as such? Because he would be writing in the 1730s.
Right. Well, okay. So where I was getting at when we took our break is that you have this date of 756, where we can see the church made a very a radical turn in becoming a worldly power. And Edwards believed that the 1260 years in Revelation 12, you know, were the time of that reign. So you simply add 1260 to whenever you date that. And so Edwards would probably put it around 756, which would land you in 2016. Now others would date it at 752, which would land you in 2012. Now, the thing that I noticed is even if you go with the 2016 date, I would interpret the 1260 in Revelation 12 as years and days. And a lot of people do see kind of a dual fulfillment of a pattern going on there, because there is a period of time of judgment at the end of time. And I think the book of Revelation does call for at least a 3.5 year period of great tribulation. So if Edwards' date of 2016 is the end, then 3.5 years from that begins in 2012. So it's definitely connected in that way. There's a lot of, like I said, this was the dominant reading of the book of Revelation for hundreds of years. I found a prominent Presbyterian pastor, William J. Reed, and he prominent pastor, but his church is still going in the United States, William J. Reed, in 1878, he wrote specifically, the papal system will come to an end in 2012. So you have Edwards, you have Spurgeon, you have all these people believing that the reign of the papal Antichrist, you know, began sometime between the declaration of universal bishop in 606 and this year, you know, around 756 when they became a temporal power. And so they simply just added that 1260 to whenever you ground that date, and it does, you know, end you square in this period of time. So I kind of arguing for a hybrid interpretation, you know, not dismissing all these hundreds of years of scholarship of the historicist reading of Revelation. You know, a lot of people have just forgotten about that, but that was the dominant view. And so I think there's a way to reconcile elements of it and the futurist approach that most of us hold today. Because I think you have to have some futurism, because obviously Jesus has not returned yet. That has to be the future. So, I mean, I'm kind of calling for perhaps a reading that takes the best elements of both.
Well, anyway, is there anything else that is significant, any other prophecies about this year? Because here we are, certainly almost halfway through the year, nothing significant has happened.
That's true. I mean, your date setting has a 100% failure rate so far. There's just no doubt about that. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm not a prophet. All I'm doing is looking at what all these other people have written and saying, hey, maybe we should be paying attention. You know, I really don't know. I mean, that you have the Mayans, you have the Hindu Yuga calendar ends in 2012.
What's this about the Hindus?
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about that. But there's like a male demon that's supposed to return. It's like the Kali Yuga calendar or something like that in Hinduism. And that would be probably more of Tom's area of expertise, but I'm aware of it. And, you know, it's just one of those things you have to ask yourself, how are all these different divergent schools of thought, you know, coming together? You know, it could be a deception, Dr. Monty. You know, I don't know. Like you said, a lot of these sources are dark, and, you know, they're talking about flying dragons and serpentine things. So, I mean, I'm very hesitant to trust them, but, yeah, at the same time, I don't know that I should just dismiss it either.
Well, I think that we have to know that the modern-day New Age, and that is the occult, really Luciferian writings, and they are available in the metaphysical bookstores. They talk about 2012, so the people from the dark side are focusing our attention on this very year. And we have to ask why. We know that Ken Fromm had told Lindsay Williams that by the end of the year 2012, the dollar would be worthless, suggesting that we were going to lose our reserve status as our currency would lose its reserve status. Obviously, all of these things are happening for a purpose. Ken Fromm, who told Lindsay that, said he was associated with this, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, these occult forces that rule the world today. Hey, we're in for some difficult times. Chris, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3.
Holy is the Lord.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Regardless of one's age, there is a living heritage, adventures, experience, and memories to share. So be sure to show how much you care by remembering an elderly family member, friend, or neighbor, by a ride to church, a trip shopping, or better yet, take the time to visit. Learn about life from the most experienced people in the world and make a difference. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority on the air, because they care.
Well, I'm here at Sacramento Network, and we do carry the book, Petrus Romanus. We carry Tom Horn's earlier book, Apollyon Rising, 2012. I actually write the foreword to the book, and you can tell that I'm skeptical about this whole thing, about something big is being prophesied by the people from the dark side. Now, we have no idea what's going to happen, but be prepared. As I said, be prepared 3 or 4 years too soon rather than one day too late. And the most important thing would be your personal relationship with the Lord. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, why, you need to give serious consideration simply to getting down on your knees and asking Him to come in and guide your life, because none of us can guide our own lives, especially if things really get bad in the world. And I'll tell you that you're going to have to be increasingly reliant upon our Lord Jesus Christ as things get worse and worse. And they are going to. We can't rely upon our own efforts. Yes, we should make our preparations, but this is a spiritual battle, and there are powerful spiritual forces at work in the world today, which most people don't understand. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why you need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret, on the dark secret, and get the syllabuses go with that. That's why, of course, you need to understand that so much of what's going on today is being directed by forces which do not make any sense. But there is another dimension. There's a spiritual dimension. There's not one major city in America that doesn't have a metaphysical bookstore. There are literally millions of Americans who have embraced the occult religions, this new spirituality that they talk about. And when the President of the United States comes out and embraces gay marriage, we know that America is certainly, we're in real trouble spiritually. And people are being killed. There were apparently a couple of homosexuals who went to Reverend Wright's church there in Chicago, where Barack Obama attended. And, of course, the story is that they were killed so they would not expose the fact that they had intimate relations with the president. There's a book written by a homosexual and who admits and talks about having had sexual relations and smoked cocaine with a man who today sits in the White House. And you can certainly find the name of the book up on the internet, or we can track it down for you. Jerome Corsi, within this last week, wrote an article at WorldNet Daily about that. You can find that on his website. And the man who wrote the book was sued for libel, and the judge threw the case out of court, not having anything to do with the man's claim about Barack Obama, but the fact that somebody else had sued this man for libel, and he had won the case. And the judge said, there is no libel in this book. This is the position we are in as a nation today. And where is the outcry from our churches pointing out what's going on? Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, The Forbidden Secret, DVD, The Dark Secret, and Petrus Grimondis, all the archives. All available, 1-800-544-8927. And pray. Pray for tomorrow.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable